Well, that's a tough act to follow, but I get to. Thomas, who is your hairdresser anyway? I'm just wondering. Macomb, Illinois? Okay. Well, our theme verse tonight is Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And there's a lot of truth in that verse. That's a theme or my verse for my message tonight. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Do you ever do anything in vain? You ever do something and it's all wrong? You got to do it again? Maybe you're filling out your taxes and whoops, you forgot something. Better correct it now. It's a lot harder than trying to correct it later after they find out. Turn to Psalm 127, would you please? In building sheds, one of the worst things that can happen is to make a mistake and have to go back, have the customer call you, you know, and have to go back and fix it. We built a shed the other day, or a couple years ago, in Lake Mills. I got a call the next day and said, the doors are uneven. One's higher than the other on the trim. Well, how did we do that? You know, I mean, we were there, we built the thing, we all looked at it, and how could that be? I said, well, okay, that must be, you know. So I went back the next day with some boards and hammers and saws to repair it. Sure enough, Paul, I said, put the centerpiece at 36 inches down, but one of the boys did it, and the other, Paul, built his 36 inches and up. So the centerpieces, you know, were like this. And, and then when you take the board out, you have holes in the door, you know. So you try to minimize the damage and hope that they don't notice anything. But to do something in vain, have to rework. Those of you who maybe do that at your job or at home, you know. A couple of times my wife has made mistakes in making the Lord's Supper. It comes out wrong. You know, got to do it again. There's nothing worse than to do something in vain. Well, if you don't let the Lord build your house, it's going to be in vain. It's going to be a shambles. You're going to be ashamed. It's going to be a wild place. You're not going to want to come home. So let the Lord build your house. I'm going to explain a few things, how you can do that, hopefully. And certainly, we're not a perfect example of that, but the Lord has blessed. The Lord will bless. If you let the Lord do it, follow the Lord's way, He can bless. Turn with Matthew, first of all, Matthew 16, 18. The pastor's been preaching about that. I will build my church. This is the church age, the dispensation of the church, of grace, same thing. And Matthew 16, 8. The church is where we should, outside our own home, is where we should focus our family's attention. This is where you come to hear the word of God, to get the leading of God, hear evangelists and other guest speakers. And you, yes, at the church is where you come and bring your family to let the Lord build your church in the context of the local church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Turn to Joshua 24:15. A few verses here about the family and the Lord's house. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Joshua, of course, is teaching, and they've just come in, or they've come in and conquered the promised land, and he's sort of giving them a little farewell encouragement. Whether on the gods of your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Three aspects there. Me, that's each individual person. You have to determine who you're going to serve, and whether anybody else does or not, you're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, there's your family. You're as a man, you're the leader of your family. And so me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And to me, to serve the Lord means to be in church at all the services and a lot of other times too, and build your life through the church, serving people, ministering through the church. And so as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that true in your life, that you want to do that, serve the Lord? Psalm 84:10, please. Psalm 84:10. Most people are quicker than I am at turning through the pages. I don't know, my fingers don't grab the pages very well, but Psalm 84:10. By the way, see, I don't have a notebook up here, but how many people have a notebook tonight? Raise your notebook high so I can see your notebook. Oh, lots of them. Good. All right, you can put that computer screen down, Matt. I see it there. And pen. You got a pen so you can be sure and take notes? Okay. And a Bible. Let's see your Bibles. I'm sure just about everyone has a Bible. That is really great. That would make a great picture. But if you just sit there with your Bible on your lap and you don't have a pen and a notebook, you're not going to absorb nearly as much. You learn a lot more when you write things down, even if it's something you've heard 100 times. You know, write it down and get it in your notebook. Psalm 84:10. All right, I hope you have at least 3 or 4 pages empty in your notebook tonight, because you're going to need them if you write everything down. And I'm not going to repeat any of the stories. You know, you got to get them the first time. Verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, accept the Lord, build the house. You're going to be in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. And that's a promise from God. And Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122, verse 1, I really enjoyed the trip down to New Mexico to visit the Foresters. And as Josh and I turned off the main road into the driveway to go to their church and their house, and you come through a little fence and kind of a corral post, you know, with the boards over the top, and on the side is a big sign right there, and it names the name of the church, Bible Baptist Shepherd Church. I think maybe the times of the service, I'm not sure what else on there, but at the bottom is Psalm 122:1, right at the bottom. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm so glad every time I get to come in. We heard many good testimonies tonight about the church and the family and how thankful people are for this church. We need to be so thankful for a church like this, that's alive and a place to serve, and a pastor that can lead us and teach us the Word of God. Where would we be without it? I was glad when they said unto us, let's go into the house of the Lord. I don't mind, you know. I leave the house at 8:30 and I don't get back till 1 or 1:30 every Sunday morning. That's fine, you know. What else are you going to do on Sunday anyway? And take a nap and get ready to come back at night. I didn't get a nap today, though. But it was nice and quiet because everybody else was napping. So I got to go over my message. By the way, I'm not too nervous about this, but I'll tell you, Lena is nervous, you know, about me being up here. She's the one that's nervous. Okay, turn to Matthew 25. Pastor's always nervous when I get behind the mic. I don't know why. Matthew 25, okay. Matthew 25, 21, and verse 23. This is a couple of verses on faithfulness. Verse 21, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 23 is about the same thing. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Bible talks about being faithfulness. A faithful man, who can find? They're hard to find, aren't they? But we have a church that's a faithful church, faithful pastor, many faithful people here, and you can be glad you can be a part of a faithful church. Back in 1978, we lived in Lake Zurich, Illinois, and that Wednesday night, the last Wednesday night, the last day of May, it happened to be in 1978, we went to church, a regular like we would normally do, and said goodbye to our friends there at First Baptist Church in Wheeling, Illinois. It was a Southern Baptist church, because we knew we were getting up Thursday morning and moving to Wisconsin. So we said goodbye, and we got up Thursday morning, came up here, closed on the house June 1st, closed on the house where we live now. And Friday, the furniture came, so we kind of rearranged that. We didn't put everything in because we had to wait till the carpet got in. We had no carpet in the house. That was part of the deal of buying the house. We get to pick out the carpet, and they'll come put it in. And so we have bare plywood floor, you know, put up some of the furniture, but then we didn't put any up in our bedroom. We just laid out a mattress and our sleeping bags. My wife and I slept on the plywood floor, and we had Michael and Leah at that time. Michael was 4 and Leah was 2. So that was Friday when our furniture arrived, and Saturday I was out working in the yard and a car pulled in the driveway. And we didn't know anybody up here in Wisconsin, so who would this be, you know, pulling in to our driveway? And I looked, and two men with white shirt and tie and a Bible in their hand got out, came up to the house, and I came out of the yard and met them. And it was Pastor Roberts and Rick Simonson. He was teaching Rick Simonson how to go soul winning. He'd only been saved since March, I believe. And they came to our house. And I greeted them, and I said, well, great. You know, well, where are you? Where's your church in town? I looked all over. There's no Baptist church in Maquanago. And he said, no, we're just new. We're just starting. We meet in the basement of a savings and loan. And on Sunday morning, he puts a little placard thing out on the sidewalk in front of the savings and loan, right across from the Citizens is where we are, or where we met at that time. And, you know, I never would have seen that unless I drove by on Sunday morning. They're not in the phone book or anything else to know. I don't even know there was hardly even any internet back then to go online to even search for such a thing. We were way back in the dark ages, you know. So, praise the Lord, God led them right to our doorstep, literally, on Saturday afternoon. So we said goodbye to our friends Wednesday night at church in Illinois and packed up the four of us, came to Wisconsin, and there we were Sunday morning in church for Sunday school and church, and then Sunday night, we came back Sunday night, but then, boy, this is really something. This is different than any. I'd never really heard of independent fundamental Baptist churches before, never gone to one. American Baptist, I grew up in a Quaker church, and we were in a Southern Baptist church there in Illinois. At least there, for the first time, I heard people who clearly gave a testimony that they were saved. They knew when they were saved and how they were saved. There were some other things about the church weren't the best, but we were glad to hear that. Then we came up here, and praise the Lord, it was just a real miracle. When I look back how God led us here, you know, we did it backwards. We looked for a job, and then we looked for a church after we got here. But that's not a good way to make a move. You know, you can do like Valina did, find a church first and say, I want to be in a church like that, and move, you know, what, 1,500-mile move or something like that. Faithfulness in a church. And we attended, we came here that day, and just been coming ever since. Hardly ever miss, unless we're sick or maybe out checking out a family to see if one of our kids wants to marry someone in that family. That's about the only time we ever miss a service. But other than that, we try to be faithful here at church. Acts 2:42, you don't need to turn in there, but after they received the word of God, they were baptized, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfast. They were excited about what had happened in their life and the truth they learned. And that's the way we should be about our church, excited, steadfast, faithful. Matthew 6:33. Many of you know that verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So seek God first. And the way to do that is through your church. You know, get into church. Let the Lord build your house. When you go on vacation, check it out before you go, or traveling of any sort. Do the best you can to find a church. You may not always find one, you know, it's exactly suits your what you want, but it's better than nothing at all. And you, I mean, don't go on vacation from God. You've got to try to find a church. Or if you move, don't do like I did when I came up here. The Lord bless us in spite of ourselves. But if you lose your job or you change your job, don't change your church. It's okay to change your job, but don't change your church when you have a good church that's going to be a blessing to your family. Don't sacrifice that. For a job, God can provide a job in the Milwaukee area very easily for you. Gary Carlson did, I think he's sick tonight, I don't think he's here, but you know, he's been laid off, and he looked around, and he was going to stay here in this church, and he found a job, and the Lord blessed him. He's back at, I think, maybe one of his original jobs there in Eagle at the plastic plant. But that's the way to do it. Don't change your church and change your job, but stay where you are when you have a good church. Point number two, the first one was faithfulness in your church. Number two, obey your pastor. Turn to Hebrews 13:7. Hebrews 13:7-17. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You ever have the boss call you into his office? Joe, come here. Come into my office a minute. Oh, man. You feel like dying. You know, what did I do now? What did I do wrong? I ruined a job or something, you know. But it was just time for my annual review. And, phew, you know, wasn't so bad after all. And he had to give an account, you know, to his supervisor of me. And, the president and the manager of all the production and my manager and my shop manager, all four had gotten together and were talking about me. Good thing I didn't know that. That would have been very nerve-wracking. But I came out okay. I still have my job. But they had to give an account of me. Am I worth it, you know? Well, your pastor has to give an account to God for you. He has to give an account. And obey them so that they may do it with joy and not with grief. When you have a pastor that's concerned for you, a pastor who listens to God, who's led by God, and he really cares for your soul, listen to him and obey him. People who listen to the pastor have very few major problems in their family. People who don't have a lot of problems. It goes hand in hand. And you have a good pastor, obey him. we're right there. Hebrews 11:8. Turn to Hebrews 11:8. Little passage here about Abraham. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. You know, God told him to leave your father's homeland and just go, and I'll lead you. And when you get to where I want you to stop, I'll let you know. And that's going to be your promised land. I'm going to give that land to you and your descendants after you, and Abraham didn't know where that was. But God wanted him to get out and get separate and start a new nation under Abraham. So Abraham obeyed. He was going and not knowing. It's a going and not knowing principle. Lots of things in life we don't know. But I tell you, I have asked my pastor a lot of times, what do you think about this or that decision? A job, your kids, where your kids should go to college, who your kids should marry, many other things. I asked my pastor about that. And what do you think about this speaker or that speaker before I go to a conference or something? Should I go and listen to him or not? Just all kinds of things. I ask him, and I find out from him what he thinks. And when we first came here, there was a time when I didn't listen real closely. I sort of did, but not real well. It had been 13 months since we've been up here, and WEPCO, Wisconsin Electric Power Company, where it was my employer, decided to just lay off all 13 of us biologists because they couldn't build a nuclear power plant and they didn't need us anymore. So, first time I'd ever been laid off. And they're a good company, though. They tried to offer all of us other jobs within the company, not to lose a paycheck and, you know, try something else. And so I appreciate them for that. That's We Energies today. But back then it was WEPCO. Well, I did take another job within the company, but I didn't like it real well. And I had to go way downtown to the big plants down there. Not the power plants, but the administrative office or whatever. I wasn't real happy. And then I heard of a job similar to what I was doing at Duke Power Company in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. I thought, that sounds kind of interesting. Lived in North Carolina. That warmer climate, I could go for that. And Charlotte, North Carolina, okay. So I talked to the pastor about it, and he said, no, God led you here, and God is working in your family, and I don't think he led you here to get up and leave in 13 months, a short period of time. He wants you to stay here and help build our new church. Well, okay, that wasn't really what I wanted to hear, but I knew that's probably true. But you know how the grass always seems greener on the other side of the fence. So I went ahead and went, because it didn't cost me anything. Got a free airplane ride and meals and motel. I stayed at a Hilton down there in Charlotte. And took the interview. It was really neat to see the place, and it would have been right up my alley, you know, a nice job in aquatic biology. But if you didn't know that, I used to be an aquatic biologist for 11 years. I have a master's degree in that. Today, I don't know why, but I do. But I don't put anything on the wall or anything, because who would know I was ever have a master's degree in biology. But I went down for the interview, I came back, and I waited, and I got a notice from them that they had hired somebody else for the job anyway, and I thought, okay, that's settled, you know, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And that was August, and in November, some of you have heard this story, in November, I got word through, you know, word of mouth through the grapevine, through the biologist. We know each other, get scattered around. We know each other. I found out that three of the biologists, and I don't know if it would have been me, but it might have been me that had gone out on assignment to go collect some periodic sampling in November, went out on Lake Norman, a big cooling reservoir pond there by one of their power plants. And for some reason, a storm had come up, and they didn't get off the lake in time. And two men and a lady were out there sampling, and they ended up drowning. They died that night. The next morning, they went out looking for them and found them dead. And I thought, oh, maybe God's speaking to me. Maybe I better listen to my pastor a little more. That was close. It could have been me. And I thought, obey your pastor. Well, it doesn't say that. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. Well, I took that to mean, you know, obey my pastor from then on. We listened to our pastor. um, I have several incidents here where we went to the pastor. I was laid off from another biology job once, laid off from Goering back in 09, and I just stayed here. And one time, we always go to the pastor when one of our boys is thinking, or in this case now we have a girl, is thinking about someone that they might marry. We always talk to the pastor. And Stephen had an interest in someone, and pastor had already said no about somebody else. So now we said, what about, he's interested in this girl at Falls, Tina Burt. Oh, I know the Burts. Been over there to their house. Your Uncle John's got 14 children, 12 girls and two boys. And Tina's family has 8 children, 7 siblings for her. Albert, Al and Peggy Burt. He said, yeah, now they use the King James, you know, they think like us, they know the same missionaries, we're in the same field, you know. Go ahead and find out more about her. So, okay, my wife and I went over to Ann Arbor, where she's from, and we didn't tell Becky Myers. And she was wondering, where are the reins? Is there, you know, be faithful in church, and they're not there. But we didn't tell anybody, as far as I know, except the pastor. And so a month later, you know, after we got back, she found out that he was courting now and or engaged or something. And she goes, nobody told me. I'm the last person to find out around here. How come I'm always the last person? Everybody else knows that why they went to Ann Arbor, and I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me? But she found out. You know, talk it over with your pastor. If you want to talk it over with Becky Myers, she'll give you some advice too. But I would recommend going to the pastor first. But, you know, if your child is going to college, if they're thinking of marrying somebody, or a job, you know, talk to the pastor and get his opinion. He has a lot of experience, and I think God leads him, and God will give him information, because he's close to God, he prays a lot, he knows the Bible, he knows how things work, and he can give you some good advice that will help you to avoid making mistakes. Number 3, under the church. The best place for the family to grow as a family is in the church. The third reason is so you can get involved. We're right there in Hebrews. How about that? Didn't plan that, but turn to Hebrews 10:25. I think a lot of you know this verse. Hebrews 10:25. Get involved in your church. It says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Get in your church and be involved. 1 Corinthians 15:58, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's sort of my life verse, whatever that means, but it sure means a lot to me. Be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in. Here's a perfect place to abound in the work of the Lord. Be in church. You know, the blessing this morning of Tyler and all his helpers there in Kids Club, to see those kids up here, and then the daycare, Brenda and Brianna and others at work, to hear those, and hear that one girl. Man, what a megaphone voice she has. She'll be great someday. What a blessing, you know. Get involved in your church and don't regret the extra time and the extra work and the time away from home, time away from family or whatever. Just get involved in your local church and do what you can there. I remember when we first came here and we were going to start building this building here. We didn't have bobcats then and backhoes. There was a lot of equipment we didn't have. About all we had going for us was the pastor's brains. So we were limited a lot of what we could do. I mean, because we didn't have a lot of equipment. So Len and I and Mr. Forrest Wombolt, some of you might remember him, and you probably heard this before, there was a big pile of gravel out there, and that was going to be the back, well, not the backfill, but we laid drain tubes, and we had to cover it with gravel so water could drain through the gravel into those tubes and run out down over there where Samuel gets stuck with a lawnmower sometimes because it's wet in the spring. But we didn't have a backhoe or a bobcat, so my wife and Mr. Wombold and I would get buckets of gravel, climb up a plank up onto the top of this basement wall and walk wherever we'd left off, dump one little 5-gallon bucket of gravel and come back and get another one. I mean, if we'd had a bobcat, we had the whole thing done, you know, in 4 hours or less. But we hardly accomplished anything in 4 days. So, but eventually, somehow, it did get filled up. But we just got involved. We did what we could, you know. If it's going to take a long time to build this church, well, that's what we have to do. Just get involved. And as a result of being involved, I learned a lot about carpentry, helping the pastor remodel their house, building this auditorium. And I learned a lot of just basic things, which came in handy later, several years later when I got laid off, and my wife found a job doing building storage sheds, carpentry job. Never done that before, but I like working with my hands. I'd learned some things here, and that ended up being a real blessing. Never would have thought of that I'd be have a little business building sheds, but what a blessing that has been. For 8 years, that was my main job, and I'm probably suffering backaches and sciatic nerve problems today because of all that hard work. But it provided for us. And then my boys all learned how to build sheds and are handy with carpentry. And it's been such a blessing. Where did I leave off? Get involved. Buckets of gravel. Wombled. Okay. My kids have been a real blessing to be able to work with my kids building this big addition out here. And Mr. Drew did a lot. There was such a help with that, and building a picnic canopy extension, and the garage out there where the wood-burning furnace is, all that. I remember I had company coming. My brother John was here, so I felt like I needed to be home, but my boys all came out to help put up the rafters that day. So John and Ann, my wife and I, hopped in the car, and we came out, and there were my boys up there on the roof, pounding away, putting up the trusses and the plywood. They knew how to do that. I thought, wow, what a blessing, you know, to see them doing that. Get involved in your church. You never know how you might end up being a carpenter or hanging around the Lang gang. You'll learn to be a cook and how to organize a fellowship or something like that, you know, for the ladies. It's great. Or hang around, you might just pick up some good music traits. Get involved in the church. I remember Pastor tells the story when he was at Faith Baptist Church, Pastor Teasdale. He had finished seminary, finished Bible college at Maranatha, and he didn't feel led to lead or start a church in Delafield, his hometown. So I'm just going to get busy in my church here, Faith Baptist Church, Waukesha, work with Pastor Teasdale and try to build that church. God will lead me someday. And it wasn't too long. Pastor Teasdale said, he calls him Ron, Ron, have you ever thought about Maquonago? Maybe you could start a church in Maquonago. I think that's basically how it went. He was busy in the church, and then look where we are today. Here we are in Maquonago. Turn to Acts 13. Get involved in the church, because I think that's often where God is going to lead you or some member of your family. So by being in the church at the right time, in the right place, you'll hear something, and you'll be led by God. You'll say, that's what God wants. There's the answer to my question. Acts chapter 10, 13, chapter 13. Okay, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered, they just got busy in the church there at Antioch. They were just busy working. Here's the Apostle Paul, all the things that he was going to do in the future. He was just working in the church there. I don't know what he was doing, you know, janitorial work or something. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Many young people have been called into God's service here in the church. Just by being in church and hear a missionary come and a missions conference or something, and God works in their life, and they hear God's calling. Stephen, as a young boy, often would hear Dr. Rick, or was it Dr. Rick, would say, maybe God wants you to be a missionary in Africa. Did he do that? A different missionary did that. Dr. Rick was asking, when are you going to come to Kenya, Red? And he finally did. And it was a real blessing, and he would hold the three little my grandchildren, redheads, you know, on his lap. And I got a picture of that. And it was in the church, you know, where God really worked in Stephen's life. And that area, many young people, I get the privilege of being on the membership committee. And we hear many people's testimonies. It's such a blessing to do that. And many young people here. I was here when Evangelist Gilmore was here. We've had several Gilmore kids come through that God told me I need to get saved. I got saved then, and I knew I need to come forward and get baptized. Other evangelists have been here. In the church is where God's going to work in your life, in your children's life. Don't miss a service. That might be the one where God had something special planned for you, and you don't want to miss it. Okay, we can wrap that. I better move on. Page number one is done. Church is done. Number two, the parents' role. A Christian home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor. Who's they? That's the parents. You know, the parent. This is a parent's job of building a home and having the Lord work. And you don't want to do it in vain. So, parents, a few tips for you, I guess. Proverbs 22:6. You can turn there if you want, or maybe you know it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise of God. To train up a child in the way he should go. Well, it takes a lot of work. You know, and the kids are kind of under your authority until they're 20, 21, 22. I got a 20. I'm not sure how old she is. Leah, she's still at home under my... 29, thank you. Okay. Maybe she didn't want me to say that. I don't know. Oh, I'll hear a lot of things when I get home tonight. You shouldn't have said that. Proverbs, I'm just saying, I got to go to bed. I got to get up early in the morning. Proverbs 22:6. That usually doesn't work. I'm the last one, aren't I, Philip? Philip, he gets on me. Dad, get to bed. All right, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It takes a lot of work to raise up a child for God. Number one, you need salvation. Parents, are you saved? Are you sure that you're saved? Maybe there's a young person in here who's married. Have you any doubts about your salvation? You can't give to others what you don't have. You've got to be saved. If you're not, that can be a real problem. You know, you're not going to be comfortable coming to church here, probably. And if your kids want to live for the Lord and serve the Lord and you're not saved, that's going to create a real conflict. They're going to see that. And there's going to be a real problem there. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build a house. The Lord can't build a house unless you're saved. You got to come his way. You got to be saved in the blood of Jesus Christ and understand that concept, because we are conceived in sin. Our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Mouth is full of cursing. And, unless you're saved, there's no way you're going to build a house for the Lord. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5. You getting all these notes down here? We'll have to see how many pages you fill. Second Timothy 1:5 talks about Timothy, of course, and his grandmother and mother. 2 Timothy 1:5. 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, which I am persuaded, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Timothy was called into the ministry because he had a grandmother and a mother who really cared, who lived the faith, an unfeigned, not pretending, no hypocrisy. It was a real faith. And because they lived that way, Timothy became a man of God. He became like Paul's right-hand man. Put in the ministry in Ephesus, or the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And I don't know where, you know, it raises the question, where is the grandfather and the father? I don't know, I have no idea. But that's a real encouraging word for maybe single parents who have to raise their children by themselves. It can be done. You just live for the Lord. Brother Jim gave a testimony tonight of how God changed his life and has worked in several of his children and grandchildren's life. And he did it because God changed his life. And he lived for the Lord and unfeigned. Don't fake it. Don't have a moment lapse of faith. Turn over to chapter 3, verse 15. 14 and 15, chapter 3, 14 and 15 of 2 Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And then verse 16, one of the most famous verses that you all know, but verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Get your child trained in the Holy Scriptures. An unfeigned faith, and teach them the Word of God. What a blessing to see these kids up here today singing from memory. And you should go to a Bible quiz meet sometime. If you want to see children that have learned the Bible, that is just amazing what they do. How they can learn all that stuff. They got to do it while they're young, I think. It'd be interesting to have a 60 and over Bible quiz team. All right, your responsibility is to memorize chapter 1 of Psalms. And we're going to have a quiz over that. That's about as much as we could probably handle at one time. One chapter. And Mrs. Bird could be our coach. How from a child thou hast known in the Holy Scriptures. One thing I was going to say, get involved in the local church. I was talking about that a little bit ago. I listed a few things here, ways and what opportunities you can get involved. You could be the pastor. That'd be a big one. A missionary or an evangelist. A Sunday school teacher. A kids club worker. Be a daycare worker. You could be an academy teacher, academy principal. You could be a secretary. You could be a cook. Join Lane gang. You could get on the cleaning list. You could be a fellowship organizer, a fellowship setup person. You could be a fellowship cleanup. Team camp out. They need preachers, cooks, people that can put bikes on a trailer and drive the equipment up there, set up tents, take down tents. They need dishwashers, bus drivers, videographers, if that's a word, and someone who can make a weekend review. You could be a choir director. You could be an accompanist if you know melody very well. And you could be a teen choir director or a children's choir director. You could be involved in special music. You could be the song leader. That's fun. I like that. Vacation Bible School. You could be the pastor. You could be the teacher. Or you could be a pastor slash clown if you want to be in the VBS. You could head up the recreation. You could head up refreshments. You could be the videographer. You could be the playwriter. And you can be involved in a skit. How about the sound booth? There's a lot of work back there. And a lot, if you know that, if you're a tech person, you could really be used there. You could be a bus captain. You could be an usher. You could be a furnace cleaner. You could be a snow shoveler. You could set up for the Lord's Supper. You could be a Christmas banquet organizer. Or a Christmas banquet setup, Christmas banquet dishwasher, and cleanup person till midnight. and get a tip on the table for you. You could be a treasurer, you could be the financial officer, you could be an accountant for the church, you could organize senior trips, Ricky, and you could be a handyman or fixer, you could be a flower girl down here. We have beautiful flowers, and we can thank Wally and Katie for being faithful flower girls. Nursery worker, you could work in a nursery, you could be a piano player, be a piano teacher, a lawnmower, you could teach in the Bible Institute, or you could just go and be a student, you could be a Bible quiz coach, you could go soul winning. Those are a few things that I thought of that came to my mind. And so there's lots of places where you could just get involved in your local church. Parents, be saved, have an unfeigned faith, teach your children the Bible. Pray every day. Point number three on my list here is pray every day for your family, everyone in your family. And so the larger the family, the more prayer time you need. But that's true, you do need it. Every morning I get up at 4:20 and go and brush my teeth, comb my hair, some, check the fire, make sure that's going, come back in, sit on the edge of the bed with Lena, and we pray for our family. Ever since the boys got run into the ditch by a huge cement, not a cement truck, a dump truck, on the Layton Avenue Bridge, my wife said, you know, we need to pray for our kids as they're traveling those busy roads. So we prayed not just for their safety, we include that, but we pray every morning for Michael's safety in Kenya, and they often get sick over there, and we just pray for keep them from disease, keep them from the devil, and keep them from danger from the evil men with evil intentions. And we pray for every kid in our family every day at 4:30 in the morning. And when I'm done, I wake Lena up and I say, well, I'm going now. No, I sometimes I can tell. I think she fell asleep, but I don't blame her, you know. And then sometimes she says, I couldn't get back to sleep after you left. I was awake the whole next 3 hours or whatever it is. I said, well, good. Now you know how I feel. No, pray for your family, everyone in your family, every day. Kids, pray for your mom and dad, you know. daily Bible reading. Turn to Psalm 1. Has it been over half an hour yet? Psalm 1. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree, here's a promise from God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to be prosperous? Prosperous the way the Lord wants to prosper you, not necessarily financially, but just prosperous, have a peace and joy and a happy home, and then get in the Word of God daily. There's other verses that we won't go there, but Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Is that right? Okay. Then, you know, not until you do that, get in the Word of God day and night, don't depart from it, and then you will be prosperous. Deuteronomy 6 through 9. I won't turn there either. But it talks about how it's the father's responsibility to lead the family and teach them these laws that they can put them in their heart. You know, they're supposed to bind them around their head, frontlets, and put them on their wrist. And not necessarily literally like the Orthodox Jews do, but it should be bound to you. And in 1 Timothy, like Lois and Eunice and Timothy, they're unfeigned faith and in the Word of God, and they're able to teach you, and then every scripture is given by inspiration, it's profitable for you. So get in the Word of God daily. Have family devotions each night. We have family devotions at night. We're often scattered, so we don't always get together, and not everyone, you know. And that's one reason why I'm up so late a lot at night, because the kids aren't home yet, or they're busy studying or practicing their instruments, and I hate to just call them down, you know, for my sake, and so I'll find something else to do and until I know they're done practicing or something, and then we get together and have our family devotions. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a super long. What a blessing it was, Josh, being there in New Mexico and be a part of the family devotion. They got more time for it, I think, but after breakfast there, the Foresters have their family devotions. What a blessing that was. Oh, that was just worth, you know, I don't know, $1,000 to be there for that every morning. Pray around the table, read around the table, quote passages from memory, and reading from a book for Christian character. It was such a blessing. Make family devotions. At least do something. Do the best you can. Family devotions. I know Brooklyn, when she was 2 years old, I believe, could quote all the books of the Old Testament. Remember, she could go through them. You helped her on a couple of them, but you should hear her try to say things like Deuteronomy or Ecclesiastes. It's really cute, but she got them all in there and said them the best she could. At 2 years old, you know, they can learn Bible verses, and they may not understand them, you know, but as they grow older, they'll just become a natural part of their life. Fifth area. Four was daily reading the Bible. Number five for your parents is separate from the world and separate ecclesiastically from false doctrine. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Boy, that makes it pretty clear. That's pretty strong. We got rid of our TV when they went to no more analog. You had to have cable or satellite or something. We said, oh, forget it. You know, I'm not going to bother with that anymore. Boy, am I glad. It's just we don't even miss it. Don't even think of it. I'll have to admit, once in a while, maybe presidential election returns, I go call Wally up and we go over and watch on his big movie screen there. But that's not too often. It's been a while now. Love not the world. And what a great place to come and learn about that here at church. Learn of the hazards, always remind of the hazards of Hollywood and movies. Dress, learn how to dress modestly and appropriately, a way to please God. And I remember going to WAX, Wisconsin Association of Christian Schools, annual competition. And I was a parent, so I was walking the hallway, and I noticed our kids were in one of the rooms, glass door, you know, you could see them rehearsing, getting ready for their turn to perform. And some of the other kids from another school walked by and stopped. And thought, look at that. Every one of those boys has a comb-over. They thought that was ridiculous. Well, I'm glad our boys know how to comb their hair. You know, it doesn't have to spike out, you know. Maybe they need that for their internet reception or something. I don't know. But, you know, I thought, wow, that was pretty revealing to hear him say that. 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. You know, come out from among. You're not gaining anything. You're losing by hanging on to worldly friends. You can be friends to them, you know, and try to help them, but don't do the things they do. And come out from among them. That's what God says. You have no business being. Don't go into partnership with them. Be like Abraham. He said, leave your father's land. Go, and you don't know where you're going, but I'll tell you when you get there. And God will tell you when you do the right thing. And he'll tell you what to do and what he has in store for you. You don't know the future, but he does. Lot vexed his soul. 2 Peter 2:6-9. Right, his righteous soul. He was saved. And he lost his whole family. He went to his daughters that were married and sons-in-law the night before and say, get out of town, get out of town. The angels of God are here and they're going to destroy the city tomorrow. And they laughed and mocked him as, I don't know, as one who was a fool or whatever it says. They didn't pay any attention to him and they burnt up in the fire the next day. His two daughters that were still at home, first of all, his wife, she liked the things of Sodom. And as the angel was trying to drag him out, get out of here, hurry up, she turned around and looked and became a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Don't be like that. Don't let the world lure you. And his two daughters committed incest with him, and two of the most hated enemies of Israel were born from that immorality. And they were enemies all around Israel. What it was, Ammon and who? Moab. The Ammonites and the Moabs were a result of that. Don't get involved in the world. Get out of there. Don't be comfortable. Don't get easy in the world. Number six, raise a godly seed, Malachi 2:15, that he might seek a godly seed. Malachi 2:15, another reason, another role of the parents, that they can raise a godly seed and the next generation and the next generation. It's real easy to break that chain, isn't it? You know, all I have to do is just, I don't care about God, I'm not going to get saved. And that child goes off in the world, and all their descendants will probably be in the world unless God intervenes and does a miracle. But you want to raise a godly seed. You need to have a spirit-filled life, Ephesians 5:18, and we read that this morning, our main passage this morning. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. And the only way to do that is to be filled by the Spirit. You can't do that. I mean, what wife, you know, is going to obey their husband and submit to their husband in this condition? Only the Holy Spirit can make that relationship work. And okay, well, we'll go on to one more page here. Children, point number three, I guess. Christian home children, turn back to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. And we don't have any business just raising them any way we want to. We need to raise them for the Lord, give them back to him. Like Hannah, she couldn't have any children. And that was a bad situation because her husband had another wife who was having children with no problem, and she was mocking Hannah. And I can't, that's, well, there's a lot to be said about that. But Hannah, what did she do? She just prayed and prayed, and Lord, give me a man child. If you'll give me a man child, this is in 1 Samuel, 1st chapter, chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Give me a man child, and I'll give him back to you for life. He is yours. Just, I would just like to have a child. And finally, you know, Eli said, what are you doing? Are you drunk? You know, she was praying and her lips were moving. She said, no, I just want a child. He said, well, you go home. God's going to give you that child. And he did. And she raised him, I don't know, until he was weaned or something, 8 years old maybe. And she took him with a sacrifice to the temple, gave him to the Lord, to Eli, and he lived the rest of his life there. Here, the most precious thing that she wanted, desired more than anything else, she simply gave it up. Didn't really give it up. When you give something to the Lord, you aren't giving up anything. You're gaining. And she gained a prophet of the Lord. Samuel was his name. And she had several other children after that. The Lord blessed her. You know, if you do what God says, you'll be blessed. And be like Hannah. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. It's up to him. You know, there's how many children you have, and if you have children, that's up to God. So just leave it up to him. As arrows are, verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. What does a mighty man do with an arrow? You know, he aims it. He keeps practicing and practicing over and over until he can hit that bullseye dead center. He aims that child in the way he should go. Children. let me see here. Aim them towards salvation. Where should we aim our children? Well, aim them towards salvation. We covered that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22:15. You better teach them about salvation. you know, they need to be saved. I'll go through these quickly. Next one is aim them towards obedience. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it'll give you long days, long life. I forget just how it goes. Length of days. There's several verses in Proverbs that I've been studying through this class that say the same thing. Point them towards salvation. Realize that, you know, they're conceived in sin. Psalm 51:5. They need salvation. They need to be changed. And so aim them towards salvation. Timothy and his grandmother and mother, and that's what they did. And Timothy was used greatly by Paul. Aim them towards the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Not too long ago, where's David Roberts? No, he's not here. Oh, there he is. He quoted Ephesians chapter 2. I think it took a little nudging to get him up to do it. I can see why. You know, a young boy is going to be a little embarrassed, maybe nervous in front of all of us watching him. And wait till you have to come up here and preach a sermon, David, someday and see all the eyes watching you. Yeah. But he stood up and he quoted Ephesians chapter 2. I was real proud of him. I'm sure his parents were too. But they, little kids, they need to be in the Word of God. And they'll learn so many things. Luke and I think Philip, too, have a Bible that they won in Vacation Bible School. This is Luke's Bible, one of his defined King James Bible. Where is it here? Here it is. Luke Raines, Bible Memory at Vacation Bible School, July 23rd, 1999. And he still has that Bible. Get them involved in the Word of God. point them toward the Scripture. The next point, it's number 7 here. I don't know if you got 7 down on your notebook. Aim them towards church. Every time, Hebrews 10:25, we talked about that. Not forsaking the assembly. That, raise your church and the family. That's where they'll probably get called, just like Paul and, was it Barnabas? And Saul were called in Antioch. Get in the church. That's where God will call you. Get in the church. That's where you find out what God has for you. Raise your family in church. Get involved in all the work days. I'd recommend getting them in the academy. And aim them towards God's call. It's going to be hard to hear God's call if you're not busy in the Lord's work and in church. And raising your family for God. Aim them to the right friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I'm not sure what that verse says, but I think, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, it's very dangerous. You have one wrong friend, and you might have the wrong friend here in church. You never know. But beware, aim them to the right friends. Boy, that might be one of the biggest things in their life. Aim them towards Bible college. Children, you need to go to Bible college and find out. Maybe you feel like I don't want to be a pastor or a pastor's wife or something. Go anyway and graduate, and then if God has not spoken to you, then you could seek some other means of employment or whatever for your life, another career. But go to Bible college first. Give God every opportunity to speak to you. You'll never regret it if you do. And aim them to the right spouse. I could tell some stories about that. But I won't go into that in this time unless I have more than 50% interest in that here. No, I better wait for another day on that. Well, okay. That sums up. Turn to Proverbs 3, 33. Proverbs 3:33. Our theme verse for tonight was, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. It's zero, empty, it's worthless. But Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. And there's many other verses along that line. In order to get God's blessing, you've got to do God's will. You got to get involved in the things of God, and the church is just the best place to do that. And just be focused on the church. Is your family focused on the ministry, whether church or just ministering to a neighbor or a new move-in? Is your family focused on that? Are you raising your children so that you're pointing them like an arrow right at the bullseye of God's will for their life? Parents, are you the example you should be to them? Are you listening to your pastor? Are you obeying him that has the rule over you? All many things we've covered tonight. Is your family what it could be? You know, none of us are perfect, and the story of our family is far from being over. It isn't all written, that's for sure. And but you just got to live day by day and do God's will and follow the Word of God. Be involved. Be here for every service and take notes and obey what you learn. I think that's it, Pastor.